Season 2 continues on. What about Bob? Groundhog Day. Movie battle begins now.
Welcome to Movie Battle. Each episode, superfans battle it out to see which film is best. Here's your host, Kevin Armstrong.
What is up, party people? Welcome to Movie Battle. I am your host, Kevin Armstrong. This is episode 17, What About Bob vs. Groundhog Day. This began simply as a matchup of early 90s Bill Murray classics and ended up being the deepest episode we have done so far. We'll bring out the superfans in a few, but first, here are some quick facts and tidbits. What About Bob is directed by Frank Oz. The screenplay is by Tom Schulman with story by Alvin Sargent and Lauren Ziskin. It stars Bill Murray, Richard Dreyfuss, Julie Haggerty, Charlie Korsmo, Catherine Irby, Susan Willis, and Tom Eldridge as the Gutmans. Soprano fans will also recognize Tom Aldridge as Carmela's father. What About Bob was released May 17, 1991, with a budget of $39 million and a box office of $63.7 million. What About Bob has a Rotten Tomatoes score of 84%. Groundhog Day is directed by Harold Ramis. The screenplay is by Danny Rubin and Harold Ramis, with the story by Danny Rubin. It stars Bill Murray, Andy McDowell, Chris Elliott, Stephen Tobolowsky, Brian Doyle Murray, Robin Duke, and a very young Michael Shannon. Groundhog Day was released February 12, 1993. It had a budget of $14.6 to $30 million and a box office of $70.9 million. Groundhog Day has a Rotten Tomatoes score of 96%. Both films had some interesting casting choices. For What About Bob, Woody Allen and Patrick Stewart were approached for the role of Dr. Leo Marvin. Groundhog Day actually considered Chevy Chase, Tom Hanks, and Michael Keaton for Phil Connors. One thing each of these films had in common was bad blood behind the scenes. Murray and Dreyfuss did not get along during the filming, with reports of an intoxicated Murray screaming, "Everyone hates you, you are tolerated," and then tossing an ashtray at him. Murray was actually going through a divorce during the filming of Groundhog Day and was miserable, throwing tantrums and contradicting Ramis's decisions. Murray and Ramis clashed over the script. Murray wanted to focus on the philosophical elements, while Ramis wanted to focus more on the comedic aspects. The falling out between the longtime friends would last more than 20 years, as they would not speak until shortly before Ramis's death in 2014. This is a shame after they created not only Groundhog Day, but Meatballs, Stripes, Caddyshack, Ghostbusters. Seems like they could have had a couple, three more classics. Rubin chose I Got You, Babe, because it used a lot of repeating lines and was about love, which he felt were thematically resonant aspects. The great lesson from Groundhog Day is that it's only when Phil stops using the loop to indulge his own desires and instead uses them to selflessly help others that he is freed. The metal band Death Therapy derived their name from What About Bob. Danny Rubin started a blog in 2007 featuring fictitious conversations between him and Phil Connors. There you have it. We'll be right back with the superfans. Welcome back to Movie Battle. Our first guest is Rebecca Armstrong. This is Rebecca's third appearance on Movie Battle. Rebecca is originally from Goldsboro, North Carolina. She's a graduate of Meredith College with a degree in psychology. Rebecca currently teaches elementary school virtually and lives in Youngsville, North Carolina with her husband, Kevin, and children, Beckett and Eva Claire. Rebecca, welcome back to Movie Battle again.
Thanks.
This is your record-tying third appearance. You're now tied with our good friend, Neil Woodliff.
Nice. I need to come on again.
Yeah, we need to have you on again. Maybe go against Neil, have a duke it out for the grand title.
I think that's a good idea.
All right. Well, how is the virtual teaching going right now? It's been almost a year.
It's going okay. have to have a lot of energy to keep the students engaged, and I miss being in the classroom, but I think it's going as well as it can, and the students are resilient. If I wasn't teaching five grade levels, then it would probably be all right.
Yeah, the five grade levels, and as I can witness that, or I am a witness to that. We share an office, so when you're in here teaching, you know, each grade back to back to back, I'm over in my corner, you know, working, and it is the most impressive thing I've ever seen, the way you switch gears and deal with the different levels of student, because you got kindergartners and fourth grades, you know, we were just doing some advanced geometry for the fourth graders, and you know, the kindergartners, you know, that's our son Becca's in that class, and it's a total different ball game. So you know, my hat's off to you. You're definitely an amazing teacher.
Oh, thanks. Well, yeah, the fourth grade at our school is pretty intense. It's pretty intense, but those girls are very bright. So,
indeed, Rebecca, the last two times you were here, we said either Julia Stiles or Mandy Moore plays you in a movie about your life. Are you sticking with those two, or is there anyone else?
So I still think those two, just because of the round face, but somebody recently told me that I looked like a actress from Hallmark movies, but she didn't know her name.
Hey, nothing wrong with Hallmark movies. I know we stumble across those from time to time, and like I might be downstairs watching a football game and then come upstairs and end up, you know, sobbing within 15 minutes watching a Hallmark movie and eating Little Debbie's with you. So
don't tell people we eat Little Debbie's.
All right. Yeah. We'll see if we can edit that out.
I don't know. Something.
Yeah.
We eat Little Debbie's.
Organic,
okay?
Little Debbie Christmas trees.
We like them. We don't eat them every day. Just don't judge.
Special occasions.
Special occasions.
Yeah. What would you say is your go-to movie snack these days?
At the theater, I always got milk duds and a Coke. But around home, like, I'll just eat whatever dessert is around. Chocolate, cookies. I do like to eat popcorn sometimes. I like the Boom Chicka Pop a lot.
Yes, that is delicious. These are very good choices. You can't go wrong with any of them. Rebecca, let's get down to business. You are a What About Bob super fan. What is it you love so much about the film?
What is there not to like? I think the movie makes me smile the entire time I'm watching it, and I definitely chuckle. I've probably seen it, I don't even know, like 20 times. I'm pretty sure I watched it as a kid. I mean, when I say kid, like 10, 11, with my parents. My parents liked Bill Murray a lot and Richard Dreyfuss, so I've seen a lot of their movies. But then I watched it with you as an adult and just got to reappreciate it so much. It's just, Richard Dreyfuss is just really, really funny. But he's so...
The shorts.
The shorts, yes. The way he wears the shorts up high and the high knee socks. And he's just... He has a way about him. He's so serious, but hilarious. And then Bill Murray. I mean, who doesn't like Bill Murray? So,
let me the sidetrack real quick. Speaking of Richard Dreyfuss, if we did the movie about our lives, would he play my father or a former employer of mine?
It could go either way. It could go either way. I think your dad is not as hyper as Richard Dreyfuss.
No, it would be more on just appearance.
Yeah, his would be based on appearance, but the other definitely probably the personality.
we were watching that recently, and I just thought about it, and I had to keep to myself so I could spring that on you on the podcast.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Rebecca, did you learn anything from What About Bob?
I mean, in my more, like, we just watched it so I could get ready for this podcast. And in full transparency, I am actually in therapy, not with a psychiatrist, but I am with a licensed therapist. And, you know, the part where he's in the woods and he's like, oh, I get it. I'm all tied up inside and I've got to untie the knots to break free. I mean, that kind of resonated with me. Like, yeah. I mean, I'm not really shy about sharing that I have an anxiety disorder, as many Americans and other people around the world probably, but have and struggle with. So I thought that resonated with me. And then also, like, I get it. Take a vacation from my problems.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, I mean, I don't think I learned anything in other years watching it, but when we watched it recently, yeah, that kind of resonated with me.
Yeah, and I, you know, speaking of therapy, I actually began therapy last year, as I think many people did. You know, just with the current situation that our whole world's been in the last year, and you know, doing the teletherapy, especially since insurance pays for it. It's been very beneficial. I've dealt with anxiety and just being way too stressed out for, you know, a large part of my life, and just kind of, you know, talking about stuff with people and just getting some, you know, you know, tips and just, you know, strategies with dealing with that kind of stuff is amazing. And I recommend it for everybody. I mean, it's a great way to spend an hour of your week.
Yeah, I think it's good for people to, if they're willing or they're able to share about it, because there can be such a stigma on getting help, like getting help for mental health. Whereas, like, no one questions if you go to the doctor for physical things. So right. I think it's really good if people can share more about that. And yeah, so obviously I'm not like the character Bob in the story, no. But I definitely have some of his tendencies, like the elevator. That's a little, maybe many people don't know that I often do not take elevators. I will usually take the stairs if I'm able. I do not like elevators.
Yeah, elevators, you know, I can take them or leave them, you know. They're kind of up in the air with me.
I actually dreamed last night that I got stuck in an elevator. It is probably one of my biggest fears, is getting trapped in an elevator. So I know when I was pregnant with Beckett and we had to take the elevator at the hospital, and my mom, she told me that it got stuck often, and I was in labor and didn't want to take the elevator. So yeah, that's, but yeah, I'm not, I don't think I'm schizophrenic like Bob.
All right. No, I would say you're definitely not schizophrenic. Was there anything you didn't understand about What About Bob, or would you change anything?
You know, the part where he is going to blow Bob up is a little much for me.
Death therapy. I mean,
yeah, I mean, I understand, like, but sometimes humor can be just a little much for me, like when it deals with someone dying, like taking someone's life. So that part I would change. When once it gets to that part, like, I don't think it's funny his house blows up, or no. that he is wanting to kill someone. So, but other than that, no, there's nothing I would change, and there's nothing I didn't understand.
It's a near flawless film. I mean, I laugh probably more watching that movie than any movie I can think of. Just the way he says stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely their inflection and their facial expressions. And just, man, the acting is just amazing in that movie. Like, Bill Murray, you just believe them. Like, almost see a picture of Bill Murray and I just think he's Bob.
Absolutely.
It was just so realistic. His and he just did a really good job. And then Richard Dreyfuss, I mean, just when he's getting ready for that interview and posing in the chair, like it's just
Perfection.
golden. It's just golden.
Perfection. Absolutely. All right. Well, before we get out of here, Rebecca, as you're aware, we always go out with our favorite quote from the movie. You get just one. Okay. So I know this is a tough one for you. What is your favorite quote from What About Bob?
Oh man, I just forgot it. It's oh, I feel great. I feel good. I feel wonderful. I mean, I could quote so much of that movie, but that one I think again resonates with me. And I mean, I might even try to say it a couple times when I'm feeling anxious. Yeah, so that'll be mine.
Absolutely. All right. Well, Rebecca, thank you for joining us once again, and best of luck to you in the movie battle.
Thanks.
Excuse me while I interrupt your movie battle for just one second. I've got a question for you. Do you like true crime? Blood, guts, gore, murder. Maybe you like nostalgia, you know, watching those old movies, or you see that guy and you're like, hey, I know that guy, he's that guy from. Well, if you do, once you finish movie battle, head on over to A Side B Side Podcast with Brooke and Adam. We'd love to have you.
Welcome back to Movie Battle. Our next guest is Tina Jaramillo. She's making her second appearance here on Movie Battle. Tina is from South Florida. She has a master's degree from Florida Atlantic University. She spends a lot of her free time volunteering with local activists to bring awareness and change to issues affecting the local community. Tina currently lives with her husband, two sons, and adorable pup Teddy. Tina is an English teacher in a local private school and is host of the Muck Podcast, which covers true crime in the world of politics. Tina, welcome back to Movie Battle.
Thank you so much for having me back. This is great.
Yeah, we're glad to have you. Last episode you did Silence of the Lambs was an
Yes.
instant classic. The streets are still talking about that one. It's funny, you know, the last time you were here, we recorded it. It was right after the election, and now you're here again right after the inauguration. And you have a political podcast, the Muck Podcast. So it was kind of and that was just by chance. Not, you know, that was just when it fell on the schedule. So that was kind of cool, though.
Yeah, perfect.
That is awesome. How is the Muck Podcast going?
It's going pretty well. We've been finishing up our first year, so we started our second year, and we have a new little segment. It's called Little Muck, Lil Muck, that we like, where we've been interviewing journalists, politicians, other people who share their kind of political stories. So it's been really interesting, and we've had some really great guests on. So that's been a fun little side
Yeah.
project of the podcast that we're enjoying.
That's awesome. That sounds awesome. How is teaching going? Are you on campus or are you doing it virtually?
Yeah, we are on campus. Most of my students have returned, so I still have maybe a few kids. And then if kids get sort of contact traced, then they're back on the Zoom. So every week you just never know who's going to be on and who's going to be live, because it depends on, you know, oh, this team got quarantined, so those kids are back, and they kind of shift back and forth. So it's kind of, you just got to go with the flow every day. That's been the motto for the year, just, you know, being very flexible.
Absolutely, yeah. Flexibility is the key. My wife is also a teacher, and you'll be going against her a little later. And we were just talking about how, I mean, she's still teaching virtually, and it's been almost a year, and
Yeah.
it's just been so just ridiculous, you know. Just
It's
and
definitely a lot different.
yeah,
I miss
definitely.
the in-person. I mean, there's definitely a difference between just even the activities and things that you can have them do, or any group work. Like, I can't have them do group work and sit together because they can't sit, you know,
Right.
Within 6 feet. And then you have half the kids online and half in the class. So it's hard to put those kids together to work on a group project. So it really changes how we have to approach what we're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, Tina, the last time you were here, and I asked who would play you in a movie about your life, I believe you went with Sarah Silverman and,
It was Annabella Scaria or Sarah Silverman. I think with
right.
I went with Annabella last time. I feel like Absolutely. This time I'd go with Sarah Silverman.
Okay, all right. Well, both excellent choices.
Yeah,
I'm actually rewatching The Sopranos right now.
Good.
Yeah, I'm at the end of season two. I'm all in.
Yeah, I can't remember if I mentioned the Talking Sopranos podcast last time.
I've been using that as a companion piece. That's kind of what made me want to do it again.
Yes.
So that's been really
so good.
Yeah.
So good. It's one of my favorite shows that I've been listening to lately.
Absolutely.
So, and they go through every detail. It's really great.
Yeah, they're very thorough. They have the best guests on there. You know, just people from the show.
And I love Steve Sciarippa. He is just so funny, and he's my favorite.
He definitely doesn't hold back.
No.
He tells you how he feels.
Yes, and he just always is kind of, messes with Michael Imperioli, and it's so funny. their banter is great.
Absolutely. All right, well, Tina, what I'm trying to remember from last time, what is your go-to movie snack?
So I think last time it was a salty sweet, but lately I've been really into these espresso chocolate chip ice cream bars. So that's been my new go-to.
All right, I'm listening. That's, I think those would be.
And I get to tell my kids that they can't have it because it has espresso in it. So I get to keep it to myself. So that's even better. I don't have to share.
Perfect. Yeah. Yeah, our children, they just assume it's theirs pretty much.
Yes.
Now they can get in the fridge and get in the pantry, and they climb on stuff, and it's a whole thing. And yeah, so I'd like to have something that would be just mine, but I don't see it.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Let's get down to business, Tina. You are a Groundhog Day super fan.
Okay.
What is it you love so much about the film?
Yes, I love Groundhog Day. I love this film. Well, one, Bill Murray, and I know Bill Murray is doing both of these movies that we're talking about today, but Bill Murray in Groundhog Day is just the quintessential, cynical sort of he's not terrible, but he kind of is terrible. He's just rude. And I love witnessing sort of the change that happens with this guy. And I think that's the thing that I love most about the movie, this idea that you can learn to be better. And, you know, 1,000 years or more, I'm not sure how many years Groundhog Day the day lasts, but that eventually in time we have this capacity to kind of be better.
Right.
And you don't have to be mean or cynical all the time. And you can have this realization that you can be this better person in the world. And I love the sort of watching that develop in this movie. And Bill Murray just makes it so fun.
Absolutely. You bring up a good question. How long do you think he was repeating that day? I mean, just from mastering the piano like he did, how long do you think it took him to do that?
Yes. I mean, it's because he reads all the books. He learns. I mean, he speaks. He recites the poetry in French. So, I mean, there's a lot of it's a lot of time. It's got to be 1,000 years or more. I mean, I feel like he's there a long time.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I don't know.
That is one of the life's mysteries.
I don't know. I yeah, and I'm sure there's someone somewhere who has tried to calculate how long he was present.
Well, they say what is 10,000 hours to master a task.
Yeah, so I mean, and he does so much, and he learns so much about every single person in the town. So that takes time too. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I mean, it's definitely a long time. I don't even know how he's still any shred of sane when we see him at the end of that movie, because I feel like it would just be, you know, I don't know, he would have lost his mind at some point, and maybe he did, and he does, but I don't know. But it's definitely, to me, I just love the growth that we watch happen with this guy.
Absolutely, yeah.
That I think is cool. And I think it's almost like, I almost think it's sort of like a reverse fairy tale a little bit, because you have, you know, this guy that gets kind of woken up sort of at the end, you know, like he is kind of rescued, but he's sort of rescued by Rita, by the character Rita. So she kind of ends up rescuing this guy. So it's sort of like a reverse fairy tale to me, because when at the end, you know, when he finally has that moment with her, like the spell is broken and he kind of can go on and life continues. So it seems like she sort of has saved him. So I kind of like that concept too.
That's very well said. Tina, how old were you the first time you saw Groundhog Day?
I want to say I was definitely a teenager when I saw it. So maybe like 17, 18, something like that. So it's been a while, but I watch it all the time. And recently had my children watch it and they really liked it too. So it was fun to kind of pass it on to them and have them, you know, just go, you know, oh my God, I'm, you know, my younger one going, it's the same day again. I said, yeah, it's going to keep happening. So that part was fun.
It's always a great feeling passing down the movies. And it's like, my kids know when to laugh at the right parts of like Home Alone or something like that.
Yes.
You know, or Christmas Vacation. And you know, my children are probably younger. They're 4 and 6. It's awesome. I mean, it's one of the best parts of it, of parenthood.
Yeah.
Did you learn anything from Groundhog Day?
So, I mean, I think that it's, you know, like I said, I really think that this is about learning how to be better, you know, like that we can be better people. And it sometimes might take a while and we might mess up, and we see him messing up over and over and over again. And it's really when he kind of loses, and I think it's about learning how to be less selfish, because he's a pretty selfish guy. And it's really not until he learns to be selfless that things start to change for him. And so I think there's this sort of overwhelming idea of that we have capacity to change, to be better. And I think that's what I learned from it, that even though it's funny and there's all of this crazy stuff happening, that it's really about witnessing this change, and that, you know, if this, you know, incredibly cynical guy can do it, then, you know, maybe everybody else can do it. And it's not like everyone has to be the greatest, best person in the world, but we can be better. And we see him, you know, make that shift as the movie progresses.
The English teacher with yet another just brilliant response. I would say I couldn't have said it better myself, but nobody would ever think that I would say that anything is as wonderful and intelligent as that. So that was great, Tina. Thank you.
Thank you.
Very awesome. Wow, it's hard to follow that. Was there anything you didn't understand about Groundhog Day, or anything you would change?
Well, I think the one thing I can't understand is, like, I don't know why it started. You know, why this day? Why this person? You know, why Phil Connors? You know, there's no explanation on what caused Groundhog Day to stop. Like I know why it stopped. I feel like I know why it's the loop stopped happening, but what got him started in the time loop? I think that's the one thing that I really don't know at all. And there's no really indication, you know, like he's just this curmudgeon. They're supposed to go home and the blizzard strikes. But again, like, why was he the person sort of trapped in Groundhog, you know, in Punxsutawney for, you know, almost an eternity, or, you know?
Yeah.
I think that's sort of the big question of the movie. And I like that it's not answered, but that's like the one thing I have no idea.
It's like this movie, you could just make it over, like, or the same movie could be made and not a comedy. It could just be, you know, a real, you know, just kind of thought-provoking spiritual
type
drama. And I think it would be, the potential to be just as excellent is there, but it is a comedy. It's Bill Murray. It's Bill Murray at doing what he does best. And it's awesome. I mean, I don't think you can really do much better than that movie.
And his acting is just incredible. I feel like that's what sells the movie, is all of his reactions.
Yeah.
You know, that first day when he meets the guy on the stairs and he's, you know, completely freaked out. It's so good. Like, it's perfect.
I am in agreement. All right, Tina. Well, before we get out of here, as you know, we always go out with our favorite quote from the movie. So you get just one. So,
oh, Tina, gosh.
What is your favorite quote?
I'm torn between two. Oh, God. I think it's, I don't know why, but it's watch out for that first step. It's a doozy. Yeah, the guy that he runs into on the street. It's just funny. And I feel like it kind of captures the movie, you know, like it's a doozy, this adventure that he ends up on over and over and over again. So, and, you know, eventually he learns to avoid that puddle, and he sort of learns to avoid other things that, you know, build his character, I guess, along the way.
See, you somehow turned that into like a metaphor for life, and I would have just
gone, bing. Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. It's so funny. Bing again. It's so good. That back actor is perfect for that role.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Well, this has been great, Tina. I appreciate you joining us, and best of luck to you in the movie battle.
Okay.
All right. All right, party people. It's the moment you've been waiting for. Time for the movie battle. Up first, representing Groundhog Day, Tina Jaramillo. Tina,
yes. Talk to me. Okay. So I really think that Groundhog Day is the movie out of these two films. One, we have a plot that is, you know, seems like it's pretty simple. A guy with a bad attitude repeats the day over and over. He sort of thinks he's in hell, but he's stuck in this small town. And no matter what, even when he tries to kill himself like a million times, he wakes up back in that same room, doomed to repeat the day. But the thing that I love about this movie is that it's not until he achieves a higher level of goodness that he gets to move out of the loop. And it's like an authentic goodness. You know, you have Andy McDowell, who is incredibly likable, sweet, almost naive, but not too pure, not to the point where like you can't stand her, like that it's annoying. But he really likes her, but when he tries to earn her love, he does it in such an unauthentic way. You know, he's cheating. He's asking her all of these things so he can repeat it and try to win her over. But when he finally gives that up, when he sort of attempts to, you know, kill himself, he flies off the edge and his truck blows up and the toaster in the bathtub and all the wacky things he does. It's not until he sort of decides to improve himself and kind of let that go that he, you know, is able to earn her love, because she just ends up realizing, oh, he's this good person, that, and it happens sort of in this authentic way. And when that happens and he reaches that sort of level of goodness, the spell is broken and he can kind of move on. And so I just think the message of the movie, along with the acting, along with all of these incredible characters, make it, you know, the best film.
Well said. Rebecca, what about Bob?
So What About Bob is a movie that I laugh and smile the entire movie. It is, the characters are so so outrageous that it makes it funny. Outrageous in the way that, like, clearly no psychiatrist would ever have a patient at their lake home. And Richard Dreyfuss is just so into himself, which is just ironic because he's the psychiatrist supposed to be fixing everybody, but he's kind of narcissistic himself. And then Bill Murray just does such a fantastic job playing this character who just has all kinds of, you know, neurotic behavior. And I just think it's such a fun, funny movie. And I tend to gravitate towards movies like that where they're just lighthearted and, well, minus the part where he tries to kill him. I just, you know, just kind of escape from my own stresses. It's just one of those movies that makes me smile and laugh.
Well said, Rebecca. Both of these movies are, you know, two of my favorites. It's hard for me to choose between them. I love both. I will watch either of them when they're on. And, you know, the characters make these movies. And obviously, you know, we talk about the casting of, you know, Bill Murray is the star of both of them. And he's perfect in both of them. Like, it's, you have the real lovable, funny, every facial expression, thing he says, cadence he uses in What About Bob is just perfect. And then the cynical kind of smart aleck that he is in Groundhog Day is just, it's just classic, you know, much like Ghostbusters, Stripes.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean, kind of Bill Murray is just, he's just such a good actor. And, you know, at the end of Groundhog Day, you know, he's like, what are you doing here? And she says, you said stay, so I stayed. And then he gets up to look outside and he's like, I said stay, so you stayed. And he's like, stay. Like, they're just, the way that he, you know, handles like the dialogue, you really connect with him as an actor. Like, in every movie that he's in, it's always so good.
Oh, absolutely. I think the man's brilliant. I mean, he's definitely one of a kind. You know, he doesn't have an agent. He just kind of ends up getting jobs. They find him and he does these movies, and they're, you know, such a variety, and he's himself, but he's different every time. And it's just, it's a true talent. And we're lucky to have been a part, you know, to have him in our lives, you know, all these years, and hopefully he's still around for a long while.
Yes.
Yeah. I think oh, sorry, Kevin, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think he is just a fantastic actor, and you can't really go wrong with either of these movies. I think Groundhog Day, I like that movie and I will watch it, but I'm not always in the mood for it because I don't know, sometimes our life.
yeah, the mendacity. Yeah, I get it.
So, some days I want like a little bit of escape from that, but that's really cool that you tied in that message, or that you got that from that movie, because I've never watched it and really thought that deeply. So that's really cool. The next time I watch it, I'll appreciate that more.
Oh, awesome.
I think, you know, and you know, we just talked about how great Bill Murray is, and I'm actually doing a special podcast in the next week or so, just the top five Bill Murray characters.
Oh, wow.
And that's going to be a lot of fun. But the casting for both of these movies is great. You know, Andie MacDowell is great, and I guess when I think of Andie MacDowell, I do kind of think, you know, romantic comedy, something like that. So she's kind of perfect for that role. When I think of Richard Dreyfuss, I don't think comedy, and I think that's what is so great about him in there. Just kind of his, you know, you know, being the straight man, so to speak, against you know, Bill Murray's Bob.
Yeah, and his frustration in that movie is great. I mean,
yes, I can't even
imagine.
Yeah, I can't even decide which one makes me laugh more. Because Richard Dreyfuss's character is just as funny as Bill Murray's in that movie to me. And just the subtle, there's just little subtle things in the movie that after you've seen it 20 times or so, like, that I just pick up on. Like, even his shirt that he, like, Bob comes in with that bright blue shirt and those orange letters. And I forget what it says, but something about a local. And
don't hassle me.
Yeah,
I'm local.
Just yeah. Like, and then you have this, like, refined, it's like, doctor, you know. polar opposites they show there, and I love it. It's hilarious to me.
Yeah, I have to revisit that. I haven't seen What About Bob in a little while, and I definitely want to revisit it for sure, because I remember it being just ridiculous.
It really is, and I told in my part of the individual interview part, I was saying, the one thing I didn't love is that he tried to kill his patient with a dynamite or whatever that stuff was. Yeah. You know, that was a little much for me, but I don't want people losing their lives and their house blowing up and all that. But up until that point, I feel like it's really, really funny.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, it's kind of cool how they, you know, the both movies have a you know, very different settings, but they're kind of cool and, you know, similar in that they're small towns. With the, you know, Lake Winnipesaukee for What About Bob, and then we've got the, you know, Pennsylvania Punxsutawney for Groundhog Day, and you got, you know, one is, you know, the end of summer on a vacation, the other is you know, winter time. Your February.
Yeah.
And I think it's just, it's great the way that they, you know, they put us there. You know, it's not just in, you know, New York City or California or anywhere. It's just, you know, it's different. I like that.
And for Groundhog Day, I mean, I think it sort of needed to be, you know, if he wasn't a big city, then he could live all those lives. Like, he would have a lot to do, but he's, you know, stuck in Punxsutawney, which for him is sort of, you know, hell on earth. I think he says it one time, like, I could have been in Tahiti. Like, that was like the best day. Why couldn't that be the repeat day? Why is it here? So I think it's perfect for, I guess, the growth that he's supposed to have, that it's in this little small place.
Yeah. It's absolutely. I'm finding this kind of funny. I feel like I can't remember all the movies I've done on here, Kevin, but I'm starting to feel like I'm like choosing the more like not wholesome one. Because I was, my last time on here, it was like the reverse of whatever movie I was going against. And I feel like this is the same. Like, it starts out with this distinguished doctor, and then he ends up in himself in a psychiatric unit, in like, you know, in a comatose. Yeah. And you're, you know, saying you start off with this guy who has a bad attitude, and then he turns everything around and learns all these lessons. So it's sort of the opposite in that way, as far as character development throughout the movie.
Yeah.
This is very interesting. Tina, the last time Rebecca was on here, we did Legally Blonde versus Devil Wears Prada.
Oh, my God. And I love Legally Blonde. Which one did you do?
I did the Devil Wears Prada against my will.
And then she ended up changing her mind.
Yeah, the lady made me change my mind.
She was convinced.
She was talking about, you know, how empowering that movie was. And yeah, by the time the battle was over, I'm like, oh, yeah, you win.
Yeah.
But I love
that. Legally Blonde is so good. But the other, my brother loves Devil Wears Prada. He's the one that actually got me to see it, I remember. And that one's good too.
Yeah, it seems like more men like that than, I don't know if it's Anne Hathaway or what, but more, I've like, Kevin likes that movie a lot compared to
yeah
Legally Blonde. I think he would choose Devil Wears Prada.
Yeah, that's funny.
It might be Meryl Streep. She does.
Yeah, Meryl she's Streep so is, good.
Is perfection in that. Oh gosh, it's funny because I was just thinking of a possible, I like to make my fantasy football trades, but I mean, you can't trade because it's Bill Murray.
Yeah.
But, I thought about a couple of just, I was just saying how perfectly casted these movies were. For What About Bob? What would you think if instead of Richard Dreyfuss, they had more of a comedic actor? Like, and I know he's played a psychiatrist before, but what about Billy Crystal?
Hmm.
Or how do you think the movie would have turned out? Or is it that he's not somebody that would...
No, I think you need the serious.
Okay. I mean, Billy All Crystal, right. I think, can be that sarcastic. Like, if you think about When Harry Met Sally, like, he kind of has that sarcastic. Mm-hmm. But I still think I still think Dreyfuss is what brings it home.
Okay. I was thinking the same thing. I just, I like to throw these things out there. Groundhog Day, I was just saying how just perfect and we were saying how likable Andy McDowell is. What if you substituted her with Demi Moore?
No, because I feel like Andy McDowell, at least in that movie, there's just this, she's naive, but she's still, strong. She holds on to her convictions throughout. Mm-hmm. But Demi Moore, I feel like, is a little, I don't know. I feel like she might just be a little not as innocent. I don't feel like she has the innocent vibe. Maybe unless it was like from her ghost days. Maybe. But
yeah, that's what like I was thinking. Early, I was thinking of somebody.
Like an early Demi Moore, maybe.
Yeah, I was trying to think of somebody that was just, from around that time in the early 90s and what was big. And honestly, I thought of who's an actress with dark hair.
I could see maybe Jennifer Aniston or Courtney Cox playing that role, but still not as good as Annie McDowell.
Yeah, she's because she's got that even her accent, like everything about it is
that hometown.
Yeah, she has that hometown vibe to her.
She's actually
maybe a Reese Witherspoon.
Yeah, she's actually from Annie McDowell is actually from North Carolina.
Yeah,
she's from Asheville, North Carolina, and I know that because she hosted Saturday Night Live a long time ago. Like in I think it was whenever Sex, Lies, and Videotapes was out. She hosted Saturday Night Live and said, "All my family back in Asheville, North Carolina," and I thought that.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, I just feel like that whole vibe that she has is perfect.
Yeah, I agree.
Both of these movies are just about as original as you can get. I mean, we've dug deep and kind of talked about how the growth from Groundhog Day and just bettering oneself and kind of the reversal in What About Bob, but also actually. How the process of therapy, even if they're using it as a comedic device, actually is very beneficial, and just how people can overcome their obstacles and whatnot and have a happy and successful life, but the way they go about these is just completely.
I don't know. My sister-in-law is a therapist, and I think she has to have therapy from dealing with her clients.
Yeah, I can imagine.
So, and my therapist is, I think they all are required to have therapy themselves so that they don't kill their patients or, and they set boundaries or whatever. But yeah, I agree. I think if you want to see that message there, you can. But just some of his little things that he worries about me and kind of resonate with me. And I was saying that earlier in my interview, like, I don't like to go on elevators and I'm a little bit of a germaphobe and I have some odd things that I do. So it could be a reason it's one of my favorites because I get to laugh at that behavior and see it outside of myself,
Right. And see it a little amplified.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As far as 90s comedies go, I think both of these movies have had a tremendous impact on our culture, often very quoted. They're, you know, some of the most replayed and just they're so rewatchable. I mean, literally Groundhog Day, you know, you can watch over and over again. And it's, you know, the way this, you know, the last year has been, Groundhog Day is kind of, you know, a lot of people have referenced it as like the perfect movie for 2020. But again, What About Bob as well, is just funny, but you know, just the idea of therapy. And I think that has been, you know, just, I think there's been a lot of strive and, just the perception changing for mental health, so, and again, you know, two of the most rewatchable movies, I mentioned again that I will pretty much drop everything and watch either of these if they're on, or even plan, or like recently we actually got it on, bought it on demand. What About Bob to watch for this, because I let my brother borrow a bunch of DVDs, including What About Bob, which I didn't realize that I slid that one in there, because he asked to borrow a bunch of movies.
So I have to ask Kevin, I mean, I'm not the interviewer, but which performance do y'all think is the best between the two?
See, I love him in Groundhog Day because he shifts. You know, he shifts from, you know, the cynical guy in the beginning, and then the person that he becomes at the end, and you see the vulnerability, and you see it's this that movement of him as an actor throughout, his despair when he's like trying to kill himself, and then sort of the vulnerability, like I said, at the end. And I think and even like his performances when he's doing the recordings every time, where it's Groundhog Day again, and then bop, 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 bop. Like, you know, he gets so frustrated, and it's like watching all of that emotion. He kind of evokes so many different levels of emotion throughout that I think the acting is just really great, beginning to end in Groundhog, because you see the versatility.
So it's probably a deeper level of acting, because he had to be all those things throughout the movie.
Yeah.
Whereas, I mean, What About Bob? I guess he had to kind of harness this character that had all these anxieties and worries, yes, and personalities.
Yeah.
But once he like nailed that, he pretty much just ran with that the whole movie. So I can see what you're saying. I can see what you're saying there.
Both performances are A pluses. You know, 99 or 100, as good as you can get. I just, for me personally,
sorry, our kids.
Bill Murray, Bob Wiley, that character makes me laugh more than anything I can ever think of. He is just every facial expression and just the cadence, the fan. Is this a fake hangup?
I could watch it again right now. We just watched it.
Yeah. I definitely am putting that on my list to watch in the next few days. In fact, I'm going to probably see if it's on demand anywhere for me to try to watch this weekend if I can.
Yeah, you definitely should.
It's been a little while, and I just remember it being ridiculously funny.
It is. And we need to watch Groundhog Day again, Kevin. It's been a while. Maybe we'll watch it on Groundhog Day.
That would be fun.
There's nice. That like teacher the coming at me.
Yes.
Oh, goodness. All right. Well, okay. So this has been amazing. Just both of y'all are just, you know, both of y'all have been on before. You're welcome back anytime. This has been great. Before we get out of here, I want to get each of you to give me your final take, as our kids are just in the background, just kind of, well, they're just being themselves, I guess. But Tina, you want to go first and give me your final
yeah,
take?
Yeah, I mean, Groundhog Day, I feel like, needs to win Movie Battle. It's the story structure, the application it has to our lives. you know, it seems like this hokey supernatural bit at first, but then you realize, as he does, there's this whole sort of way that we can change and grow. And, you know, there's the moment with the life insurance guy says he wants to sell him single premium life. And I just feel like there's a connection there. He has to achieve this premium life to get back on this plane of his life and avoid the repetition. And I just think it's a great movie just for the comedy, but also for sort of the larger message that we can take away from it.
Oh. Yeah. Well, how said. Am I going to compete? See, I'm terrible at movie battle because I listen to everyone else and I'm persuaded. But I think, what about Bob? I mean, if you're really, really looking for meaning in it, I think the ridiculousness is what you notice at first. But, you know, this guy basically healed himself and he cured himself, even though he had psychiatrists, but he had to actually look outside of himself and have people that liked him and enjoyed his company to help build his confidence up. And then he ended up getting remarried. He sent a psychiatrist, you know, to the psychiatric unit. So, I mean, if you wanted to pull, I mean, it might be a bit of a stretch, but he really did kind of heal himself. And I think that's kind of the cool part of the movie is, yes, there's help out there. And yes, I'm a huge advocate of therapy. I'm in therapy myself. But that if you don't do the work yourself, as my therapist often says to me, that you, nothing will change, but because it's really, they can give us tools, but nothing can change until we actually do the work. So.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Tina, Rebecca, I can't thank y'all enough. This has been awesome as usual. I didn't expect anything else. Thank you once again for coming on Movie Battle, and we look forward to having both
awesome.
Of you back
real
thank
soon.
You. All right, thank you so much.
Nice to meet you.
Thank you for listening to Movie Battle. Extra thanks to our guests, Tina and Rebecca, today. You can follow Movie Battle on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. As always, if you're feeling it, please don't hesitate to recommend to a friend or share on social media. Thank you for coming correct.